You're listening to Kol Dodi Messianic Congregation's weekly podcast. Our services are every Saturday morning at 11 a.m. For more information, like us on Facebook or visit our website at koldodi.org.
Let's turn to Ezekiel 37 for one spot. Romans 11, you can have marks there in your Bible or phones or not. Maybe using your phone for the Bible. Or here's a nice hat for the protectors of Israel. We remember many of those on. Why should believers be interested in, and Christians, non-Jews, be interested in what we're talking about today? Israel's Independence Day and Yom HaShoah. I'll give you two quick reasons. Number one, because we should care about, I'm Jewish, but we as the body of Messiah should care about what God cares about. God loves the Jewish people. He loves Israel. Israel is central in his plan. Paul includes God's plan for Israel in Romans chapters 9 through 11, right in the heart of his letter. An amazing theological letter, and you know, to the Rome believers in Rome, it's right in the center, and it's very crucial. And secondly, because really, as I'm going to quote this later again, but Dr. Arthur Koch says after the return mentions that the return of the Jewish people from the first time from Babylon, that completed the Tanakh, the Old Testament, and gave the world Jesus the Messiah. This second return is crucial because the second return that we've witnessed in our day, because all of us have been alive since 1948 here, right? I'm sure. No, I'm just all watching. No, but we've witnessed in this century, really, as he says, is. What does it produce? All signs point to Israel's final and complete redemption and the transformation of the kingdoms of this earth to the kingdom of God. In other words, Israel's restoration is associated with Yeshua's return, his second coming. So those are a couple good reasons. So Father, we pray, open our eyes to behold wonderful things from your word. Gal einai va'avita niflaot me'toratecha. We pray for understanding, for wisdom from you. We pray for insight. Lord, we know in part, as Paul says. We know in part, and we prophesy in part, Lord. We don't know it all. We're incomplete. It's partial. We can be wrong in certain things, but we know your word is right, and so we pray you give us understanding through it. And we thank you, and may your spirit use it to transform us and make us greater witnesses for you. In Yeshua's name, amen. Amen. So, this may be part one of two. I probably am going to continue on this week and do some of it this week and then next week as well. But Israel's Independence Day is April 14th. 14th, maybe 14th and 15th, depending on, of course, Israel's 7 hours ahead of us, eight hours, I think, ahead of us, Central Time, where we are living here in Nashville area. So today we'll focus on the nation of Israel in biblical prophecy. But Yom HaShoah was this past Wednesday, Holocaust Remembrance Day. Day of the catastrophe is what Shoah means, a catastrophe. And we remember the attempted extermination of the Jewish people as part of Hitler's final solution nearly 8 decades later. So if you were in Israel this week, I mean, when on Yom HaShoah, there's nothing like it. When we lived there for a year, nothing like it because the whole country shuts down at a certain point. I think it's 10 a.m. in their Israel time, the siren sounds. And I've done it. We've done it before when we had more things going, we could do, literally sound the siren, and I'd like to do that. But picture, ooh, and traffic completely stops. I'm talking about on highways and interstates, and highways and streets. Everyone gets out of their car and just stands in silence for that 1 minute while the sirens sound. And of course, there are special ceremonies. Candles are lit. They had them in Israel. At these ceremonies, Holocaust survivors light those candles and share. There's many opportunities where they share their stories. And those stories, if you've never been to, how many have been to Yad Vashem in Israel? You have, yeah. So if you haven't, if you go to Israel, you got to visit Yad Vashem. I believe on their archives, there are many of these testimonies. You can actually go on your computer and listen to stories. And so eight decades nearly later, we remembered Yom HaShoah this past week. And there are 900 Holocaust survivors died of COVID-19 this year in 2020. 140,000 survivors live in Israel today. Of course, many of them were children when this happened, because this is so long ago. Some artists have paralleled the Holocaust to the crucifixion, like Jewish artist Marc Chagall, who has been recognized by the all. There is the Fountain of Tears, which I think one time we visited, and a sculpture. This Christian artist has done this. So God's plan on earth seems to be that out of tragedy comes victory. We face horror and devastation, but afterwards, hope, renewal, and restoration. And I'll be honest, I don't understand why God allowed the Holocaust any more than I understand why he allowed our son to die at 30 years of age. Less than a year and a half ago. Horror, but eventually healing. But listen to this, not complete removal of the loss. People think, can't you just get over it? Listen to this. This was a revelation to me as I was studying the other day. Yeshua still has on his hands the marks, the scars of his wounds. Let me give you some passages. Zechariah 12:10 says, "Then I will pour." This is going to happen to our Jewish people. I can't wait for this to happen. Pray for this. Zechariah 12:10, "Then I will pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and supplication when they will look toward me," or on me, "whom they have pierced. They will mourn for him as one mourns for an only son, and grieve bitterly for him as one grieves for a firstborn." Then someone will ask, it says in verse 6 of chapter 13, this may be out of context, but it sure seems to relate. Then someone will ask him, "What are these wounds between your hands?" And he will answer, "Those that I received in the house of my friends." In the New Covenant, in Brit Chadashah, in Luke 24, verses 30 and 31 and 35, it mentions a couple were walking. Remember? And there's pictures of beautiful, the couple walking, these two. That Ironside opened my eyes when he said it could have been a married couple. Oftentimes they're always pictured as two men for some reason. But they weren't two of the 12 disciples. They were two, and it may have been a married couple. And they were walking outside of Jerusalem. And it happened then. Remember, they persuaded Yeshua to come in and eat with them. He was going to go, and they made it as if he was going to go, but they said, "Please, please come," and he did so. And shows us God wants us, as we heard earlier, to keep searching. He wants us to keep praying and not give up and not just say, "Okay." And it says that he was reclining at a table with them. He took the matzah, He offered a bracha, a blessing, and breaking it, he gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from them, vanished. But their eyes were open. And it says down in verse 35, well, why were their eyes open? It says, then they began telling, when they're telling about the events to the other disciples, when they went and told them, they're telling about the events on the road and how he became recognized by them in the breaking of the matzah. I would believe it was they saw the pierced hands. So in our new bodies, we're going to have glorified bodies, but perhaps the scars, the wounds of victory, the wounds that are show something you suffered for the Lord, I should say, something great, may still be there, but they're healed wounds. They weren't bleeding, but healed. Interesting. Luke 24:39-40 says, the couple said to the 11 and the others, or Yeshua rather says to this couple and to the 11 and to more the others that were there, look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. For a spirit doesn't have flesh and bones, as you see I have. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. In John chapter 20:24-28, Yeshua says to Thomas, one of the 12, Thomas, called the twin, it says, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples were saying to him, we've seen the Lord. They were so excited. He'd been resurrected. They'd said it. But he said, unless I see the nail prints in his hands and put my finger into the mark of the nails and put my hand in his side, I will never believe. Yeshua waits 8 days. 8 days later, the disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Yeshua comes despite the locked doors. So in his new body, he was able to pass right through, could pass through a door, locked doors and walls, it seems. He stood in their midst and said, Shalom Aleichem. Let's say that. Shalom Aleichem. It's a greeting, Jewish greeting for those that don't know. Shalom Aleichem. Peace be to you. Peace to you. And then he said to Thomas, put your finger here and look at my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. The marks of suffering are still in Messiah's resurrected, imperishable, glorified body. But they're healed wounds, as I said. Now in heaven, Yeshua is still, not only we know he will be, he is the Lion of the tribe of Judah and coming back as the and to judge the world, but he's still what else? A lamb. Interesting. 28 times in the Apocalypse or the book of Revelation, he is still referred to as the Lamb. The Lamb, for example, who was slain. Revelation 5:6, 5:12, 13:8. Likewise, in a similar way, the Jewish people do not forget the Shoah, the Holocaust. We have moved onward, but the nail prints in the hands and sides still remain. We cannot replace 6 million. We don't just get over it. But we can and have rebounded back to establish a glorious homeland after 2 millennia of homelessness. The miracle of Israel's rebirth may seem remote and far removed to many of you. After all, this Wednesday will mark her 73rd birthday as a reborn nation. That's older than most of us. My first time in the land of Israel, we call it Haaretz, let's say Haaretz, Haaretz, the land. That's just what we call it in Jewish life, Haaretz, the land. The Holy Land, Christians oftentimes call it, and Jews, it is the Holy Land. It's a term usually Christians use. My first time in there was in 1973. The nation was only 25 years old. I was 5 years old. No, I was older. I'd like to say it. I recall my cousin opening a huge, we had family there, Holocaust survivors, who built their whole lives there. And my grandfather helped him establish a building business, building houses. And I remember my cousin, Baruch, he was bragging. He took me around his Jeep all over and hills, the Judean hills, and showing me how amazing this land. And I remember him opening a peach, and this big peach, and ripping it like in half and showing me the fresh produce and showing how good. He was so proud of his country, and it was so new to me. I remember the smell of the land. He was, by the way, in the IDF at that time, so a Jeep was an army Jeep. And the smell, the newness of everything, the fact that this was recovered through intense warfare after the worst genocide in human history, far outnumbered. And though he was more secular in his outlook, even though I was only a believer for a year at that point, I knew this was the fulfillment of many promises God had made through Moses and the prophets. The answer to countless cries and prayers for 19 centuries. Think about it. What a trip it was. Hopefully, we'll host an amazing 2022 trip as Koldo D. Possibly 2021, but I guess more like 2022, the way things are going. And hopefully we'll be able to do that like we had been before. Although, to prepare yourself for life in Israel, you do have to expect directness of manner. For example, it was mealtime during an El Al flight, El Al Israel Airlines flight, and the flight attendant asked Moshe, "Would you like dinner?" And he was seated up in front, and he said, "What are my choices?" She said, "Yes or no." Get ready for that if you're going to Israel. Modern Israel. Israel is one of the tiniest nations in the world, yet rated the 8th most powerful country. Ranked 5th for health and longevity. Leading the world with COVID vaccine implementation. We've all seen how they've been first to vaccine the larger percentage of their population. Israel's population, just over 9 million, 74% Jewish of that 9 million. There are other peoples living there too, Christians, Druze, and others. 43% under 20, and Arabs, of course, Muslims as well. 43% under 20. The average age is 30. 8,200 high-tech companies. Number one in research and development. Number two in scientific research. Aeronautics and flying automobiles. I was watching in the Israel news that I think it's Teva, and they're planning to you just see all the 3D, the graphics. Cars literally flying, transporting people, and they're saying 3 to 5 years it'll be a reality. You'll be able to do it, bring it, not just in Israel, and do it in New York, like from JFK to in Manhattan, etc. 6,000 active startup companies. It's called the Startup Nation nickname for Israel. And I love this one that they showed in the news, like Dor Lador, a beautiful new startup. Younger people, or orchestrating younger people to help older people, and they use WhatsApp. And so the moment someone, a need arises, might be for an older person to carry groceries, or just being someone who's lonely and needs someone to talk to. And younger people, it's volunteer, are willing, they said usually in 4 minutes there's someone who will respond, that so many have joined in that. Isn't that a great thing? So hoping that app, that kind of thing, will go worldwide even. He was saying the one that started this, again, younger people, because many want to help the elderly and just don't know how. And so they do it through the WhatsApp. Sit down with for a cup of coffee for someone who needs it and take away the loneliness. But also in the state of Israel, there's not just the good, there's the bad. There's so much government bureaucracy to deal with and insane election ordeals. Probably going to be the fifth election in 2 years. Like, you know the old expression, two Jews, three opinions. And yet Israel still has those who threaten to annihilate it, as Netanyahu said in his Yom HaShoah speech, Holocaust Day speech. He said, "We still have enemies. They just change their names and addresses." I like that. And he reiterates as he continues to, "Israel will defend itself against Iran's nuclear threat despite any return to the 2015 Iranian deal with the U.S., with us, and with our country and others. Israel will defend itself and won't wait till it's too late again." I like that he keeps reiterating that. Dr. Arthur Koch, KAC, I forget, he was actually a medical doctor. I forget which practice. But he mentions in a great book on the rebirth of the state of Israel, written in 1958, a sixfold aspect of Israel's national restoration. Now, I know you can read that, right? I'm sure you can all read that. I know. Thank you, David, for putting it up. I did want you to put it up. Because I know you can't read that, but this is an amazing chart. I forgot. I was thinking of making copies for those that are here today. But maybe for next week, I can make you copies for those that are here physically. Amazing. He mentions a sixfold aspect of Israel's national restoration. Permanent and full, physical, spiritual, messianic, universal judgment of the nations, and the conversion of the nations. A chart he constructed is the one that you're seeing. This lists the references comprehensively of these of passages of Scripture. So let's ask, was the state of Israel's rebirth really prophetic in nature? Was it a fulfillment of the words of the Jewish prophets from over 2,500 years ago? An answer to the prayers, dreams, aspirations of Jews around the world for the last 25 to 30 centuries? The concluding Passover Seder prayer in every Jewish person's Haggadah for the last 3,000 years, wasn't a great Seder that we had? What a great Passover Seder we had here last Saturday night. Some of you missed it. I'm sorry if you missed it. It was phenomenal being there. But many, I guess 400 plus watched it, maybe 500 were watching actually online virtually. We maxed out, I think, at 120 here. We weren't allowed to have more physically because of COVID still, but it was amazing. Well, the concluding prayer, as you know, in every Seder, in every Haggadah, for the last 3,000 years, in every remote region, country, and land where Jews lived in dispersion is what? Lashana Haba'a Berushalayim. What does it mean? Next year in Jerusalem. Next year, Lord, may we be in Jerusalem. Let's say Lashana Haba'a Berushalayim. Next year, may we be in Jerusalem. Think of that. For thousands of years, just praying that, and it's actually happened. It's actually happened. We're here to witness it. If you were born a century ago, Israel wouldn't be regathered. You wouldn't be able to witness it. Isn't it amazing? Think about it. Let that sink in. There are three views of Israel in prophecy. Number one, it's historically fulfilled. It was historically fulfilled, these prophecies, under Ezra and Nehemiah's time, all these that are mentioned in the prophets. There's so many. Number two, these were historically forfeited and are spiritually being fulfilled in the history of the church. And number three, they're presently being fulfilled literally for the Jewish people. So where do we stand? Well, we believe in number two. They're forfeited and spiritually, yeah. No. We most pronouncedly reject number two. The church is not Israel. It does not replace her nor supplant her. Everything God said he would do literally, he will do literally. Now, that does not mean that I can't take as a child of God, as a believer, and I'm not Jewish, that I don't see a promise for Israel and can't give the Holy Spirit, can't take it and apply it in my heart for, you know, in something in my life. I believe he can, absolutely, and does. All the scriptures God breathed, and all of it is for us as believers, for all his children. So let me make that clear. But the church does not replace Israel nor supplant her. And everything God says he'll do literally, he will do literally. The gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable, Romans 11:29. I love this verse in the New Testament. Hadn't thought of it in a while, and it came to mind. I love this verse for each of one of us. If we are faithless, he remains what? Faithful. Isn't that amazing? If we are faithless, he remains faithful. Why? For he cannot deny himself. We are a part of him as children of God, as believers. We are a part of him. He can't deny himself. And that's why I believe in it. The doctrine is called eternal security. Whatever term you want to, I don't believe Yeshua loses those that are his once we really belong to the Lord. I believe there are many that think they belong to the Lord, don't. Also, he said, I never knew you. Depart from me. But if we once we really have a genuine rebirth, even if we go astray, he disciplines us, but he doesn't disown us. We belong to, we're him. I believe that with all my heart. You couldn't convince me otherwise. Many have tried, believe me. You couldn't convince me anywhere otherwise. And this is true for Israel. The same thing. You see, that's it only strengthens that argument that if it's true for us now. And the reason we truly know this is because of how God dealt with his people, Israel. So let's consider the first and third views of those views. Most certainly, some prophetic passages forecast the return of the Jewish people from Babylon. We call that the Galut, the exiled in Babylon. However, many passages refer not to this return, but to a permanent and universal restoration rather than a localized and temporary one, which that was 580s. The first dispersion of Galut happened in 586, the destruction of the temple, 586 BC, okay, BCE or C, or BC. However, so, for example, Jeremiah 24, verse 6, I will set my eyes on them as good. I will bring them and I will bring them back to this land, and I will build them up and not pull them down. I will plant them and not uproot them. This is an example of prophecy for the return from Babylon, because they were pulled up and they were plucked up by the Romans some 400 years later. The following, on the other hand, refer to a second regathering, like this, Amos 9:14-15. Yes, I will restore the captivity of my people Israel. They will rebuild desolated cities and dwell in them. They will plant vineyards and drink their wine. They will also make gardens and eat their fruit. Yes, I will, Amos 9:15. Yes, I will plant them on their land, and they will never again be plucked up out of their land that I have given to them. The Lord your God has said it. Or Isaiah 11:11-12. It will also come about in that day that my Lord will again redeem a second time with his hand the remnant of his people who remain from Assyria and from Egypt and Pathros and from Cush, Elam, Shinar, Hamath. From the islands of the sea, he will lift up a banner for the nations and assemble the dispersed of Israel and gather the scattered of Judah from the four corners of the earth. Not just Babylon. This is from a worldwide scattering, the diaspora, as we call it in Jewish life. A second time is mentioned, two scatterings and two gatherings, in gatherings. Egypt was neither one of those. Babylon was the first. The second is from the four corners of the earth and includes the islands of the sea. This is probably the Mediterranean with the whole continent of Europe. There's no evidence that the return from Babylon included Jews from the European continent, nor that Jews even lived there at the time. Isaiah 60, verses 18 and 21, "No more will violence be heard in your land, devastation or destruction within your borders, but you will call your walls salvation and your gates praise." Then he says, your people, verse 21, "Your people will all be righteous. They will possess the land forever." Ad olam, forever. "The branch of his planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified." There are so many, many prophecies I could read to you, but I'm going to save a bunch of them for next week. And many of these prophecies are from Jeremiah, Zechariah, amazing. But the prophets forecast a physical return to the land to be followed by a spiritual return to the Lord. Get that. The prophets forecast a physical return to the land to be followed by a spiritual return to the Lord. Here are some of those passages. Well, I I'm not going to mention all of these, but they'll be in Hosea. Till next week, I will mention them. Hosea, that Israel will be seeking the Lord their God and David their king in the latter days. And David had already been gone, been deceased for 200 or 250 years. They're talking about the Messiah. This is referring to the Messiah. Isaiah speaks about it. Jeremiah speaks about the new covenant that he will make with Israel. And he says, it's not like the covenant I made with their fathers. And they're all going to know me. Romans chapter 11, so critical in the New Testament. We'll look at next week. That God talks about he's able to graft in his people, the Jewish people, back into their own olive tree. He's able to do it. Following, again, a partial hardening has come upon Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles come in, and this way all Israel will be saved. It's going to happen. Following the physical reclamation of the land of Israel comes this declaration of the spiritual rebirth of the nation. We live in this day, and Yeshua said he's not coming back until the Jewish people call and cry for him to. Did you know that? It's contingent upon it. He says, "For I tell you, you'll never see me again." Yeshua said, Jesus says this, until you say, "Baruch haba b'shem Adonai." Let's say it. Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Speaking of himself, that you recognize my messiahship. This is in book Acts chapter 3 also, which we'll mention next week, and Hosea 5. And we have the Valley of Dry Bones we'll look at next week, that Ezekiel 37. Again, this amazing vision of the Valley of Dry Bones. The purpose of this message, really, of Ezekiel 37 is to show that God will accomplish the seemingly impossible. The seemingly impossible. And aren't you glad that you know that God? That's your God. He does that, will accomplish the seemingly impossible. The dry bones gather together, the four stages of what happens. We can think of it this way, and I'll again make it a little clearer next week and go into a little in more depth. But the gathering, there's a gathering, there's a cleansing, and then there's a filling. A gathering, a cleansing, and a filling. It's amazing. God says he's going to do it. 1 Corinthians 15:46 says, "However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, then the spiritual." And this applies also to this sequence of events, a sequence for Israel and the Jewish people, a physical and then a spiritual restoration. 6 million lost. World Jewish population now numbers 15 million Israel's population now over 9 million, almost 7 million of them Jews. God is going to do it. And maybe in our lifetime, we're going to see the spiritual return. We're seeing it now. There's always been a remnant, but we're seeing now an amazing, always been Romans 11:5, a remnant. Micah 12, Micah 2, Isaiah 10 speak about the remnant. Always been a remnant, but the remnant is growing. Remnant doesn't have to be super tiny. It can still be, you know, larger than we think. And it's happening. God is pouring out his spirit on the Jewish people now, today. And it's only going to increase, really, like rain that starts lightly. Anyone in that rain this morning, that little light rain? I told my wife, no, it's not going to rain. We took a little walk on the way here. And she said, you said it wasn't going to rain. But I had but I didn't think it was when I looked at the weather. But anyway, like a rain that starts lightly, maybe a brief downpour or a cloudburst, but then maybe a pause, and then a sudden torrential, drenching rainstorm. Wow, that's what's going to happen. Hosea 6, 1 through 3, describe it again, the latter rain. I'll mention it more next week. So I conclude with this again, and continue with this series next week. Got great stuff to share with you next week, also a vision of this. But again, conclude with what I mentioned at the beginning, what Dr. Arthur Koch mentions. After the return from Babylon, the Jewish people completed the Old Testament, the Tanakh, and gave the world Jesus the Messiah. What will, and he wrote this in 1956, what will this present return produce? All signs point to Israel's final and complete redemption and the transformation of the kingdoms of this earth into the kingdom of God. I'm looking forward to the kingdom of God. Yes, there's a spiritual kingdom, but I'm talking about the literal, physical, messianic kingdom. Aren't you looking forward to that? And Yeshua is reigning as king, and David will be there. This is the teaching of the whole Bible, he says, Old and New Testaments. Israel's restoration is associated with the return of Yeshua the Messiah. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Adon, we'd say Adon. Bo, let's say Bo. Adon Yeshua. Come, Lord Yeshua. Revelation 22:20, the end of the scriptures. And by the way, the MJ, Messianic Jewish Alliance of America, which is our umbrella covering, we're a part of the IAMCS, but the statement of as a nonprofit religious organization, purpose is stated in its founding documents to provide a united Messianic Jewish witness and voice for the spiritual and physical restoration of Israel. That's what it's about. Father, we thank you. We say, even so, come, Lord Yeshua. We are looking forward to your return. Even so, come, God. But as we even say those words, Lord, come, we say, oh, Lord, we want others to come to know you, our loved ones, our neighbors, our friends, those that are not yet in the kingdom of God, are not yet in the spiritual kingdom. You delivered us from the domain of darkness into the kingdom of your dear Son. Lord, in Colossians 1:13, we want to see others saved. We want to see others. So, Lord, our prayer is, come, Lord, back, but use us to bring others to know you, Jew and Gentile, Jewish and non-Jewish, our neighbors, anyone that doesn't know you around us, oh God. Do it, Lord. Please use us, Lord, while we're here, while we have breath. Thank you, God. We remember those that are lost, those that were lost physically. We remember the 6 million. And we thank you for the rebirth of the state of Israel. And we thank you for what is coming, all that you are doing in our lifetime, Lord, that we can be participants with you. And if you've never trusted Yeshua, you've never invited him into your heart, open your heart, humble yourself, and give yourself to God. Humble yourself and put your trust in him. Put your trust in God's salvation, God's Yeshua. He suffered enough. He suffered enough for your sins so that you wouldn't have to. And wouldn't have to be judged on judgment day, but would have forgiveness and a new life and a new start. And if you're doing that, giving yourself to the Lord, please let us know so we can help you and rejoice with you. So we can celebrate with you and help you put a Bible in your hands or help you get a hold of one and start to grow as a new child of God. We thank you, Lord, b'shem Yeshua. Amen v'amen. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmorecha. Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'yichunecha. Yesa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom. B'shem Yeshua HaMashiach sar ha-shalom. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his shalom. In the name of Yeshua Jesus, our Messiah, the ruler of peace, and all God's people say, Amen. Shabbat shalom.